They are the essential digital ingredients to modern life, computer chips. Advanced semiconductors are tinier than grains of salt, but they power our cars, our cell phones, our weapons. But here's the thing. Most of them are made in a rough neighborhood in the world, Taiwan, where, yes, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited today, prompting a military show of force from an unhappy China. But let's step back now and talk about the state of semiconductors and geopolitics. We have Scott Kennedy with us. He's with the Center for Strategic and International Studies, a think tank in D.C. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
We also have Paul Triolo of the Albright Stonebridge Group Consultancy, and he's on Skype. Paul, nice to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you, Scott. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so a lot of Americans have never heard of this behemoth company in semiconductors, TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. But help me understand, in my daily life, how might I be dependent on TSMC chips? Can I start with you, Paul?
Sure, Scott. Well, I think if you're using any type of smart device, a smartphone, an iPad, a computer, those devices are chock full of semiconductors that are manufactured in Taiwan by TSMC. Now, those semiconductors are maybe designed by other companies like Apple or Qualcomm or NVIDIA, but they're fabricated or manufactured by TSMC in Taiwan because they're specializing on advanced manufacturing processes in the semiconductor industry.
And has that been the business model for TSMC, Scott, that they started out making chips designed by other companies and that's where they dominate?
Yes. Taiwan has evolved its role in information and communication technologies over the last few decades. Originally, it was involved in producing video games that, you know, held in your hand, and then, you know, laptops and LCD screens. And they've moved on to really focusing on manufacturing chips.
How did TSMC become this dominant manufacturer? I was looking at a pie chart of market share in this space of chip making, and TSMC,
sure,
you know, is more than half of the pizza here. It's a story of this company, and I gather the story of its founder, Morris Chang.
Yes, I think there's two things that have gone into this. First, Taiwan has overall done an excellent job of looking into the future to see where information and communications technologies are going and how the industry is evolving and what their niche can be. And so they helped put a lot of investment into tech companies and into the Hsinchu Science and Technology Park, which has nurtured TSMC and many companies. The second is Morris Chang, who helped create this company and turn it into the leading, most efficient, most advanced fabricator of chips on the planet. And so his zeal and drive mobilizing a huge workforce and coordinating with folks around the world really has made TSMC, I think, the most important company on the planet.
Paul, of course, this is happening on Taiwan, which China has long claimed as its own, and taking it or reclaiming Taiwan, as Xi Jinping puts it, is a top priority for Beijing. You know, Nancy Pelosi has been there today. We're reading about Taiwan scrambling jets to warn away Chinese aircraft. I mean, this is a touchy part of the world. What is the risk, Paul, of too many eggs in this Taiwan basket? If TSMC goes offline, what would happen?
If TSMC goes offline, the ripple effects on the global economy would be immediate, because what you have are planes taking off from Taiwan daily loaded with semiconductors that are going to all parts of the globe. And you also have inputs coming into Taiwan and into TSMC from all parts of the globe to help with that manufacturing process. So any disruption of that would be pretty catastrophic and be felt immediately.
Yeah. Well, and of course, other countries are feeling this challenge that they need to try to make more of their own chips at home. Scott, I want to talk about China. Its chip companies have long been behind the leading edge here, but they've invested billions to try to catch up. Are they catching up?
For the most part, the Chinese are still several generations behind, both in design and in fabrication. They have invested a lot, but they are investing in a way which is quite wasteful. They are trying to pick national champions and dumping billions. And for lots of companies and investors, these have been real estate projects that have ended up not working out. There are a few companies that are doing relatively well that are making progress, but China is still dependent on TSMC and design firms around the world, and they will be for decades.
From Beijing's perspective, does TSMC factor into its plans to, as it puts it, reunify with Taiwan? If it were to retake Taiwan, it would capture TSMC, as it were.
Yeah. It is possible that some folks in Beijing see TSMC and Taiwan's manufacturing capacity as a prize. But the reality is, if there is a war, either those facilities would be destroyed, or if they just simply waltzed right in and went in the front door, they would not be able to operate TSMC and benefit from it. And TSMC operates by orders, right? Folks send TSMC orders and they stamp out the chips. I think those orders would dry up. Also, all the raw materials and everything else that you need to make chips, those would run out. So I think it's really important that folks in China understand that there is no prize to win. In fact, the current situation is what they benefit dramatically from, and taking action would actually imperil that.
Yeah, and I would just add, the idea that China capturing Taiwan, compelling Taiwan to submit or some sort of military action, and that this would somehow give China access to this incredible semiconductor industry resource is really sort of a chimera here, because it doesn't take much to disrupt those types of operations. You need the personnel, you need all the inputs, and other countries like Japan and the U.S. and Europe control those inputs.
Okay, and finally, let me ask about the U.S. in all of this. A lot of chip making generation ago, you know, was manufactured here. Congress has just passed more than $50 billion to make big investments in more manufacturing facilities here in the U.S. In a few years, Scott, how might those investments turn into reality?
I think the bill that Congress just passed and the president is going to sign will help jumpstart manufacturing, give it a boost in the United States. And we will see more fabrication in different parts of the United States. It is not going to fully replace what TSMC does. It won't. But what it could do is address critical chips that we need for our military or other national security needs, and not have to depend on outside sources. It also will jumpstart creation of more talent. Probably the biggest bottleneck in the United States isn't how much floor space we have for fabrication, but the number of electrical engineers who want to get into manufacturing chips. And so that's really where we need a big boost, and that will help. But we will always, for the foreseeable future, depend on a global chip industry at the commercial level.
And Paul, how do you see this is playing out? I mean, this will still be a space where this is a globalized industry, whatever the U.S. invests?
Yes, I think it is encouraging to see the U.S. sort of make a commitment, a long-term commitment to reshoring or onshoring advanced manufacturing. As Scott notes, Morris Chang himself, of course, has been skeptical of the sort of long-term commitment of the U.S. To advanced manufacturing, in part because of that talent gap that Scott described. So I think this is sort of a down payment. The money for the CHIPS Act runs out, I believe, in 2026. It'll be critical to see if Congress re-ups that money, because this is an industry with a long time horizon. You know, it takes a long time to build these fabs, to operate them commercially over a period of time, to amortize the investment. And so this really requires a long-term sort of nuanced strategy that is also consistent with the very, very market-driven nature of the industry. Mm-hmm. So these investments have to make sense. And then other companies like TSMC and Samsung and Intel, which are all building fabs in the U.S., they're all, of course, going to be recipients of this money from the CHIPS Act. But they're also looking for that long-term commitment from the U.S. government. The success of Taiwan, to a large degree, has been built on that long-term commitment of the Taiwan government, for example. And you have similar commitments in other developed countries like South Korea, and now more recently in places like Japan.
That is Paul Triolo of the Albright Stonebridge Group Consultancy and Scott Kennedy of the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.